And that happens quite often. I have learned that my plans are not set in stone. And so I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for liberty. And I thank the Lord for a church that understands and gives liberty. And I'm looking forward to completing the book of John, but we're just in John 5 this morning. And, of course, we looked at the first 9 verses, and that's really where I want to pick up at this morning, is in verse number 9. So John chapter 5 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day." Father, in Jesus' holy name, and as humbly as I know how, Lord, I ask you to help as I stand here to preach. You know what I've studied. You know the extent of my studies. You know, Lord, the things that have gone through my mind and the things that occupy my mind. Lord, I pray that you'd help me as I preach this morning to lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset me. God, I pray that as I preach, that your power would be evident, your word would be exalted, your people would be strengthened, they would be encouraged this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would give wisdom, you would give grace, your Holy Spirit would minister to the hearts in only the way that it can, that you can, Lord. God, I pray that you would just touch me and help me exalt your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at verses 1 through 9, and we saw how that Jesus had healed this man who had this infirmity for 38 years. Jesus, being the Word of God, only needed to speak for this man to be healed. I mean, this is the same Word. Y'all remember in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And that without Him, not anything made was made if it wasn't for the Word of God. So it should come to no surprise that Jesus only needed to speak, and this man who had this great problem that others had watched for 38 years, and he was healed immediately according to verse number 9. This is the same Word of God that spoke, and the Word was and the world was formed. So it should be no surprise that He could restore strength. He could forgive sins. He could heal broken limbs. Whatever this infirmity was that the man had, the Word of God had the power to meet the need that was there. In the verses that we're looking at this morning, we see the remaining part of this incredible story. And at the healing of this man, the Pharisees' attention is turned more on to Jesus than it has been in the book of John. At least John starts to record how that they've really begun to take notice of him in John chapter number 5. And that's what I would like to look at this morning. And so without really any delay, let's jump right into that, and we'll begin there at verse number 9. And with the Lord's help, we'll go down through verse number 15. And hopefully we can walk away from here and say it's been good to be here in the house of the Lord. And I'll be able to say that too. The Bible teaches us, and we covered it pretty extensively, about the immediate healing of the man, how that he was made whole, and how that he took up his bed. Now, we need to understand, we're not talking about a king-size bed with a big wood frame and slats holding box springs. Imagine, we're not talking about all that when we imagine an American bed. That's not what this is. This would have been a small mat that would have been probably rolled up, something like a camping mat that he could carry with him pretty easily, or would have been easy for him to travel. When we read those words, he took up his bed. And I say that because we're living in a day, and I explain that not because you people are not intelligent, but because we're in a day where people twist Scripture to try and mean something that it's not. So I would rather fully explain to you what the Word of God says rather than to leave you hanging and just allow you to try and figure it out on your own. That I feel like that's my job, is to teach you and you to be edified when you walk out of these doors every Sunday morning. And so in verse number 9, we see it take kind of a weird turn, because, I mean, Jesus just did this great miracle. He just healed this man. But John records on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, some of you may have studied what that means, but for those of you that have not, I wanted to explain to you why this was so important. So as quickly as I can, I'm going to do that. When he records that this is the Sabbath day, I believe that in order for us to understand that phrase, we need to understand the significance of the Sabbath to get what's going on here. Now, the Sabbath day is given to Israel by God. We first see it mentioned in the book of Exodus, and really it's kind of hammered home in what we know as the Ten Commandments in verses 8 through 11 of Exodus chapter number 20. We read these words: remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. In verse number 9, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. This day that the Lord has given to Israel, and by the way, is given to you and I as well, is a day of worship to Him, recognition of Him, and rest for you and I. I'll tell you this, when you begin to worship the Lord, you will find a great sense of rest in your soul and peace in your heart. Amen? Thank God where rest is, where worship is, worry cannot exist. I've never seen anyone be able to worry about something and worship God at the exact same time. The two just don't work together. Amen? And so that's the principle that God was trying to get them to understand, was that this was a time where they could lay their burdens aside, they could lay their troubles, their trials, their problems, whatever it might have been, and they could take the day off, I guess you could say. Y'all all right? Because we live in a society that says no days off. Grind and hustle and whatever else the words are that people use to get all the finances and all the money that they can, and they neglect themselves and they neglect worshiping God, they neglect spending time with their family, and they can't understand why the American family is falling apart when daddies are going out of the home all the time because they're chasing the dollar. They can't understand why the kids don't respect the fathers and don't respect the mothers because they're not taking time to love on them. Y'all okay? They're not taking time to love on them babies. They're not doing what God said to do. They're doing what they want to do, and they're chasing the greed and the lust of this world. All that in the Sabbath, huh? It's free. Are y'all okay? It's a day set aside. I'm not trying to praise him, but years ago I read the book about Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A. Somebody say amen right there. Y'all know y'all just felt something on that.
He would talk about, people would come to him and say, why did you decide to be closed on Sunday? I mean, come on, you're from Atlanta, Georgia. You live in the South. Everybody and their brother gets done with church on Sunday, and on the afternoon they go eat chicken somewhere, amen. And Truett Cathy simply replied, my people need a day of rest. They needed that time away. They that man understood that. And you look at that corporation now and how that I believe God has blessed that. And that's just something that we can see. But when you follow God's plan, your life begins to be blessed. When you obey the Lord in the way that He established things, God works through those things. All right, so the Pharisees, unfortunately, to the Sabbath day, had added their own spin on that, and they had added their many rules, and so therefore what had happened, their tradition had set in, and it had taken precedence over worshiping God. This is why that they were so upset, and I believe this is why that John the Apostle noted that the same day was the Sabbath, because he fully understood what that meant, what was entailed there, but he also understood that the Pharisees had added so many rules and regulations to that, and those rules and regulations of what you were supposed to do, how you were supposed to act, be the machine that's created by man's traditions. Y'all okay with that? We see that. We see a lot in Israel with the church today. We battle today. I tell you something. I've been a pastor nearly 20 some odd years. I've been a pastor a long time. And I will tell you what people will get upset about. And you might get bent out of shape over that. That'll be okay. You get sideways. The Lord will help you too. Amen. They get bent out of shape not over the color of the carpet. They don't get bent out of shape over the color of the walls. They don't get bent out of shape over children's programs. Some of them get bent out of shape over music, but not too many. Most of them get bent out of shape when you take Grandmama's Bible and you say that them bookmarks she got in there ain't supposed to be in there. When y'all all right? That hit a nerve with you, didn't it? Praise the Lord. Here we roll. Oh, preacher, that's... We had a lady sit here one time in our church. We were having a special meeting, and they were talking about this red back hymnal. And they said, the only thing close to the Bible is this red back hymnal. Hogwash! There's nothing holy about this book. This is a song book. And Baptists, let me help you on this. This was compiled by the Church of God, and it's got Church of Christ songs in it. You okay? Don't you elevate this to what Scripture is. That's a tradition. They had brought, thank you. They had brought their traditions in, and their traditions were so precious to them, they were more important than the fact that a man had been healed of an infirmity that he had had for 38 years. And we talked about how they were close to the temple. Y'all remember that? The sheep gate, the sheep market was close to the temple so they could buy their sacrifice, take it to the temple and sacrifice it. Oh yeah, they understood and they knew what made it convenient, and they made it as convenient as they could do. And those powerless people in the temple could do nothing for that man. And so they watched him all that time. I believe they knew who he was. I believe they knew who his family was. And when it came down to him being healed and being made whole, instead of saying, hallelujah, a great miracle's happened here today, they said, who did this for you? Because traditions. Traditions cause a lot of damage. And not just to Israel, but for the church today, okay? They cause a lot of problems. Let me tell you where those traditions came from for the Israelites, because they pulled them right out of Scripture. And anybody can take a Bible verse and twist it into something that it ought not be. I started studying this week and I got scared, just to be honest with you. But I'm going to preach what the Lord's laid on my heart. And here's what they did. They,
You guys, you Bible readers, you know the story of Nehemiah. God instructed Nehemiah to go and rebuild the walls of his city, of Jerusalem. Rebuild those walls. Go down there and rebuild them. And so they did it, and God did a great work through Nehemiah. They saw a national revival in Nehemiah and Ezra. The whole nation of Israel was revived, and God began to work again. Well, in the book of Nehemiah, in order to keep holiness and to keep that going, this is what Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 13:19, and it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants said I at the gates that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. Why are you carrying your bed? This is what Nehemiah did. Preacher, are you saying that Scripture's wrong? No. I'm saying for that place and that time where Nehemiah was striving to keep holiness in the Old Testament in the city of Jerusalem. He did not mean for that to become a tradition that they would hold against somebody when they didn't do what they thought that they should do. Jesus, the Word of God, He came to fulfill the law, and He did fulfill the law. There, because Jesus fulfilled the law, is the complete fulfillment of the law. We are no longer under that law anymore. We're not under this don't carry your burden on that day. We don't have to do that anymore. Don't you see that there's freedom in Christ? Here's what happens when you carry your burden under the law. You think that burden bearing makes you worthy of salvation. And instead of putting your faith and your trust in Jesus to bear the burden, you carry it yourself. That's exactly opposite of what Jesus wants you to do. Some of you in here bearing your own burden, thinking you're making your own way of salvation. And you're miserable. You get nothing out of the Word of God. You get nothing out of the preaching. You get nothing out of the Bible. And you can't understand. You're carrying this burden. And you don't have to carry that burden. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." A Sabbath for your soul. You under this yoke of bondage of the law, of keeping the law and doing everything you can. That's what was going on with these Pharisees here. They were under this yoke. They were under this bondage. And instead of being joyful that someone had gotten delivered and someone had been made right with God, they still clung to their traditions. They still clung to what they thought worked. And that's why here in a couple of weeks we're going to find out, or it might be next week, we're going to find out about Jesus having a discussion with them, how that all the power and judgment's been given to Him and not to them anymore. And while we are not living in the Bible days, we are absolutely seeing Pharisaical rules attached to Christianity to make people right with God. It breaks my heart. I don't think you ought to go off and live any old way that you want to. I don't think you ought to forsake the Word of God. I'm not telling you that. Please understand there's a ditch on both sides of the road. But I am telling you that if you're trusting in your tradition more than you're trusting in Christ, your tradition will take you all the way to the pits of hell. You will die and spend eternity separated from God if you trust your traditions to deliver you rather than trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jeremiah 17, Jeremiah mentioned it too. Neither carry forth a burden out of your house on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day as I have commanded your fathers. Thank God that those guidelines, they were put into place. But friend of mine, you have to understand that the keeping of the law, keeping of the guidelines, keeping of the rules is not what brings deliverance. It's not what brings salvation. It's not what brings healing. That comes through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
So this is just before pretty much a pretty intense discussion between Jesus and the Pharisees. And I'm trying not to get into that because, quite frankly, it runs from verse number 17 all the way through John chapter 7. There's a lot there. And with the Lord's help, we'll be preaching on that. But going back to this in verse number 10, the Bible says, "The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." This man had just been healed. He had just been made whole. The Bible says cured. That which was cured. It is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Watch this, the intelligence of this man in verse number 11. "He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." So here is this man who had the intelligence about him to say, "I don't know a lot, but I know that the one that made me whole takes precedence over what the law says." And when you have someone preach righteousness by the law, they are directly disagreeance, I guess, if I couldn't think of a better word, with the Word of God. Read the book of Romans. Our righteousness does not come by the law. Our healing doesn't come by the law. I don't know why I'm hammering so hard on that point. Maybe we got somebody in here and you've kept all the commandments from your youth up. Maybe you've done everything. You've honored your mother and father. You've been good. You've been a church person all your life. You've done everything you're supposed to do. But when you pillow your head at night, you know there's something that you need from the Lord, and there's more to it than what you have and what you can produce. Friend of mine, I believe that's the good grace of God and the precious Holy Spirit knocking on your heart's door, letting you know that you must be born again. Our good works are not enough. They are not enough. They knew these scriptures and they had allowed them to develop into the things that became cruelty to this man. Could you imagine any of us see someone get born again? I mean, we had two earlier this week. Could you imagine them get born again? And as soon as they get born again, we find one of them and we say, "Praise the Lord, you got born again. You got to stop all of everything that you've ever done wrong ever in your life." You better quit that. And then we so gracefully and pharisaically, I know those two words don't match. Gracefully was meant as sarcasm, at least the use of it. Say things like, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature," ignoring the beam in our own eye. Oh, friend of mine, we all go through this process called sanctification. And when we go through sanctification, that means that we start being cleaned up from the inside out. Did you know that people, when they're first born again, they don't know the Bible? We would not expect baby Nora to stand up here and quote scripture at 3 months old. But for whatever reason, we expect brand new Christians to go out on their own and fight off everything in the world with no education, no discipleship, no help, no support from the local church. This man was healed. And the people that should have been helping him, the people that should have been working with him, the people that should have been encouraging him, rather than doing that, they were telling him every single reason why what he was doing was wrong. You talk about being in a discouraging church, this poor fellow found himself right in the middle of one. "It'll be all right. My voice will be okay." Verse number 11, "He answered him, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." Verse number 12, "Then asked they him, what man is it which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" We saw his intelligence.
and he knew that there was someone greater than them. But now we kind of see that he's got a little bit of ignorance. And by the way, ignorance is not the opposite of intelligence. Ignorance is simply not knowing. The man didn't know who it was that healed him. He just knew that he was whole. We don't all understand exactly what happens when we're born again, but we know that we're born again. There's plenty of time for you to learn. Church, that's a big responsibility on us. So verse number 12, then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? Boy, they wanted to know. They wanted to know because I believe they had a good idea. You see, y'all remember back in John chapter number 3 when Jesus said those famous words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Y'all remember who he was saying that to? Y'all remember who he was talking to? Uh-huh. You remember who he had an interview with that night? A Pharisee named Nicodemus. Oh, I fully believe they had a pretty good idea of who it was this man had been healed by. But they asked him because they wanted to be sure. Time out. This ain't got nothing to do with the message. I love this and this. These babies got enough courage to sit on the front row with a shouter and a spitter. And here's what y'all don't see that I see. They got their Bibles open and they're taking notes. Amen. And they're listening to what the preacher's saying. They're not just sitting here because it's cool to sit on the front row. Time in. I love you guys. Thank you. You're an encouragement to me. This man had been healed. The Pharisees knew who healed it. They made sure, and they launched an all-out attack against Jesus. And from John chapter number 5 until the day of his crucifixion, these Pharisees do not let up. They don't let up on him. They hound him. They harass him. They follow him around. They see the miracles. They even tag team up with a group called the Sadducees that didn't believe in the resurrection. And they begin to war, and then they get the Romans involved. And you guys know all of that. And I'm not preaching the whole book of John this morning, but what God had ordained to be a blessing, they were trying to convert into a burden. Verse number 13 says, and he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Verse 14, afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. The word of God said that to this man. Then he says something that's kind of interesting. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now, because of verse number 14, that leads us to believe that there is a likelihood that this man's infirmity was caused from past sin. Now, not every infirmity is caused from past sin, and not everybody that has something wrong in their life is because they have sinned against God. Sometimes things come in our life so that God can be glorified, because it's only Him that can figure it out and that can heal us and take care of us. But there's a reason why that Jesus said this to this man. Now, when Jesus said sin no more, does that mean that he expected this man to live a perfect, sinless life for the rest of his life? No, I don't believe so. I believe he's telling him, don't go back to what I brought you out of. Now, if you don't think that that's significant and that that could mean something in your life, let me remind you that it was after you go back through and you look at Scripture, it was after the ark sat on Mount Ararat, and after the flood waters abated, that Noah sinned against God. After the deliverance. It was after David was called a man after God's own heart,
that he committed what we know as his great sin. It was after the deliverance of Elijah there in front of Baal's prophets that he ran and got up under the juniper bush and began to pout. Child of God, the Lord will bring you out of something, but you are very prone to go back into it. Jesus is given a warning here to this man. Don't go back into that. Sin no more. And he tells him, sin no more, lest the worst thing come to you. It could mean that by our sin, something greater, more damaging to our life, could come into our life. It doesn't matter if you're the one in the pew, if you're the guy that wears a tie and stands here in this sacred desk. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Are we all prone? Prone to wander? Prone to fall? Prone to, the song says, forsake the God I love? He gives him a warning. Be careful. You know what, Christian? Somebody's watching us.
You're right.
I think about my own life, Brother David. I look around this room. I don't know how many people's here this morning. But I look and I see each life. And if I fail, it impacts not just my family. It impacts this whole church. And then their families. If I fail, do you think Brother Luke's going to continue to be faithful? If I fail, do you think that Molly's going to have the joy that she has in seeing? If I fail, do you think this little boy of mine is going to continue serving the Lord? No, he's going to see the hypocritical spirit of his dad. And he might decide that he don't want any part of it. Hey, we're just being real this morning, y'all. It's time to quit being a fake Christian. It's time to get real in our lives and in ourselves and with the Lord and say, hey, I'm tired of playing. I'm not just going to play church. I'm not just going to play Christian. I'm going to get right with God, and I'm going to continue to live right with God. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. The man departed, verse number 15, and told the Jews it was Jesus which had made him whole. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. They had allowed their tradition to bring about murder in their heart because Jesus made a man whole on the Sabbath day. But is that really all that Jesus done? No, absolutely not. He challenged their entire belief. He challenged everything that they knew. You want to get somebody riled up? Challenge what they know. If we don't line up with Scripture, then we are wrong.
Amen.
The Lord is well able to help. Some mornings I feel like that I get up here and you just kind of cast it over your shoulder. If this is meant for me, it's meant for you too, friend. And the only way that we can get help
is by being obedient to the Word of God. I don't want to be a Pharisaical Christian. I don't want to know the law and not know the Lord. I don't want to have all the knowledge of the Bible and not know the God of the Bible. I want to know Him. This man got to know the Lord, but he dealt with the Pharisees there that day. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, if you don't bless it, Lord, then it's pointless.